We've been reading for the last couple of weeks for our middle reading from the letter to the Hebrews. And one of the points of that letter is to explain that Christ's priesthood is radically different from the Levitical priesthood. Levitical priesthood was the high priesthood of the Old Testament period, and you had to be from the tribe of Levi in order to be eligible to be a priest. And so it was called Levitical priesthood. And the early Christians in the first generation or so just never even used the word priest because they didn't want to associate themselves with that older style of priesthood. But then they sort of came back by the end of the first century and started using the word priest again, but in a very specifically Christian way. And the specific is this, that there's only one priest, and that's Jesus the Christ. And he is the great high priest, and every other priesthood is a participation in his. So we are all baptized into him and therefore into his priesthood, but it's not our priesthood, it's a sharing in his. And so an ordained priest like myself has a particular sharing in that priesthood of Christ, but it's not my own, it's his. There's only one priest. And he offered the sacrifice once and for all, unlike the Levitical priests who had to offer it over and over again for their own sins and the sins of the people. And of course, their priesthood passed away when they died. But Jesus lives forever, and so his priesthood does not pass away. And he offered this Shema. Now, the first and third readings today repeat the Shema, which is the Lord our God is Lord alone. You should love him with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and all your strength. That's the Shema. And that was this kind of verbalization of the complete giving of ourselves to God. And it was taken very seriously by Jews. So much so that they would write it on a piece of paper, a scroll, and then they would roll that up real tightly and stick it into a leather pouch, and they would hang it on their doorposts. And if we would read a few verses on from the text we had from Deuteronomy, it says to do these kinds of things, to write it on your hearts. And so another thing they did was they put it in these pouches and they strapped it around their head so that as they're walking down, it keeps hitting against their temple and reminding them that they belong to God completely, and that they should honor God with their whole heart, mind, and soul. Or they strapped it to their wrists so that it kept striking them as they're walking along. But nobody was ever able to completely fulfill that until Jesus. And Jesus fulfills the Shema by his offering on the cross. He offers his complete self. And not only does he offer his complete self, but he is also God. And so he's showing us in visible form how our God is offering himself to us, so that we would once and for all know how much God loves us and how much God expects of us back. God has offered his life for us, and he expects nothing less in return. And so we belong to God. We belong to Christ. And everything that we are and everything that we have and the universe, it's all a gift from God. And so the moon and the stars that we enjoy and the sun from which we get so much life, it's all a gift from God. And everything we have. And God wants us to give it back. So what we're talking about here is a kind of a Eucharistic theology, a Eucharistic way of being, better put. To accept the gift from God, to accept the love from God, to acknowledge it, to know that it's there. And so we keep repeating the story over and over again in the Mass, don't we? I mean, we hear all these old stories from the ambo, but we also hear the institution narrative at the altar. On the night before he died, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying. Okay, so we're repeating the narrative because we want to acknowledge, we want to never forget what God has done for us. But we also want to give it back. And so the offering that we make in the collection basket is just symbolic of ourselves. There's a great story about a mission church in Africa, and the gospel was really being heard and people were getting enthused. And so one time they were at mass and the collection plate was being passed. And so this one man put the basket, the plate onto the ground and stepped into it himself. Okay, isn't that a great image of the offering of ourselves? And that's what Eucharist is. It's the offering of ourselves. It's the reception of Jesus' offering and the offering of ourselves back. Our lives are Eucharistic. And of course, it's not just what we do here at church, but there's no difference between what we're doing here and what we're doing out there. We're offering our lives in service. We're laying down our lives and finding freedom and life there. Finding out that the kingdom is already here if we'll just access it. If we're willing to lose ourselves in the same project with which Christ lost himself, then we will be happy and we will be fulfilled and we'll be at peace deep within us. The kingdom is at hand. Today is Halloween, a religious holiday originally, All Hallows' Eve, the Eve of All Saints. Tomorrow is All Saints' Day. And so this tradition of dressing up and kind of facing into death, you know, wearing some kind of scary costumes and saying boo and things like that, it's about scaring away the evil spirits, you know. That's what boo was originally intended to be. And we face into death. We're comfortable with death because we've learned at the altar how to lay down our lives. We've learned over and over again all our lives how to lay them down. So death doesn't really scare us. But we, through the month of November, which is the month of the dead for us Catholics, this is the time to be decorating graves. So find a pleasant day in November. There's always a couple of them at least. and go out and pray over the graves of your loved ones. Light a candle, take some flowers, whatever.